Hebrews chapter 3. The New Testament is better than and takes the place of the First Testament because its founder, the Messiah, is better than the prophets, better than the angels, and now tonight, better than Moses. Last time we preached on this, the first verse, first two verses, we saw the call to consider Jesus as compared to Moses. And I believe the church, not Israel, is addressed here in verse 1 when it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Consider Christ Jesus. I'd like you to consider Christ Jesus. As I've been preaching in Hebrews, I stopped to consider something besides just Christ Jesus here. Pastor, I would ask myself, "Pastor, why are you preaching in the book of Hebrews? What does it do for the hearers that listen to this? There doesn't seem to be much exhortation on the everyday living things as much as it is for you and I to consider a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would think then the goal is when you're done preaching, the section you're going to preach on, Pastor Freeman, pray that the people will have a better appreciation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That would be the goal. To love him more, to appreciate him more, to know more about him and what he has done for you. That would be the goal. If you walk out of here saying, "I know my Savior better, I love him more, I've considered what he's done," I'm sure it's going to change your whole life. It'll change you. When you look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't walk away the same, I don't believe. And so that's what I would hope we accomplish here tonight. Verse 1, of course, ends with Christ Jesus, as long as you have a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, it ends with the apostle and high priest of our profession. Wait a minute, we're supposed to be considering somebody here. Christ Jesus. That's the name which refers to Jesus as the anointed one or the Messiah. Book of Hebrews is specifically for the Hebrew Christians who had turned their back on Judaism. They had turned from law works to put their whole faith and trust in Christ Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. Why take that out? I think it's an attack against the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you hang on to your King James version of the Bible, for it's based upon the Greek text which was there hundreds of years before the Greek text behind the new modern versions. The Greek text behind the new modern versions wasn't even put together until 1881. And it was put together on the basis of two main corrupt manuscripts. Corrupt on their very faces. Christ Jesus belongs in our passage. And it isn't even for me or you to even determine that. We have to believe that God has preserved his word. It's not a matter of, well, Pastor Freeman thinks Christ Jesus should be there. It doesn't even matter what Pastor Freeman thinks. We have got to have a doctrinal basis which says it's been preserved long before Gary Freeman was even born and came along. Doesn't matter what he thinks. It matters that God has preserved his word. And very obviously, somebody has come along to corrupt it. Here we have a Bible that says Christ Jesus. And then all the other modern versions leave it out. We got a problem. And it doesn't matter what Pastor Freeman thinks or any pastor thinks. Did the Lord preserve his word or didn't he? We can't have two Bibles. We got to have just one. All right. Christ Jesus. Consider Christ Jesus. Verse 2, we see the faithfulness of Christ and Moses brought out here. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. See, they were both faithful to God's house. But one must remember some of Moses' flaws in contrast to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember striking the rock instead of speaking to it? You know what automatically that does in this verse? That puts Moses down here and Jesus Christ up here. That's what happens in this verse. Yes, they were both faithful. Moses was faithful, and I in no way want to downplay the faithfulness of Moses. But I would like to lift up Christ Jesus even above Moses. And if Moses were here, he would do the same thing. So consider the high priest of our calling, our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. We remember the flaws of Moses, but you know what? I remember no flaws with my Savior, Jesus Christ. There are no flaws with Jesus. When we're all done talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not a single mistake, problem, or flaw with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes us then to verses 3 and 4, where we will see Christ better than Moses because he builds the house of which Moses is only a member of. Look, verse 3 and 4. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is, what does it say? God. Whoa. God has always had his house upon earth somewhere. He's always had a house somewhere. A dwelling place. In the very beginning it was in the Garden of Eden, where he walked and talked with our first parents when they still were in innocence, without sin. Then later on it would be with Israel themselves. As a nation, God says, I will go with you, dwell with you. He instructed them to build a tabernacle where he dwelt with his people, right in the very midst. And the evidence was the cloudy pillar and the fiery pillar at nighttime. And when that left, we know there was a problem with the children of Israel. When it moved, the children of Israel moved. When it stopped, they stopped. God always has his house upon earth somewhere. Later on, Solomon was allowed by God to build a house. Even though the Lord said, I never asked you for a house. And I don't dwell in houses made by hands. But he did lower himself to fill the house with his glory. And the nation of Israel had the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst. Folks, we come to today, and there's something very, very special going on right now. And that is that Jesus Christ, or I'm going to say God, is now dwelling in the church. It's a spiritual dwelling place. It's not a building. It doesn't have steeples and things like that. It's you and me. He dwells in us. And corporately together, all the believers, he dwells in us together. And that's how he dwells in his house upon this earth. Someday this church is going to be raptured out, home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, 7 years later, as we talked in the prophecy meetings, the Lord's going to come down to this earth and he's going to dwell in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the world worship him. For 1,000-year reign here on this earth, he will dwell in Zion. God always had has his house upon earth somewhere. Notice how the writer makes the builder to be Jesus. And God at the same time. Look at verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And I have to go back to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. After it says in verse 1, I'll read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And then notice, by whom also he made the worlds. Back here it says, but he that built all things is God. Now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who it says hath builded the house. And who hath built all things but God. That makes my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ God. Consider Christ Jesus. He's God, come in the flesh. Christ better than Moses, as we go to the next two verses, because he is a son over the house, as Moses is only a servant in God's house. 5 and 6, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, see, there's the contrast. But Christ, something better, but Christ as a son over his own house. Not as a servant, as a son. See those two different phrases there? And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. Now verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Moses is spoken of here as a faithful servant. Now the word for servant here is different from other times when the word servant is used, speaking of a lowly slave. This one is rather of a higher, freer service, much like the service rendered by your doctor or a physician, as he serves you in that manner. Moses was that kind of a servant in this house. Go to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. Let's see how the Lord felt about Moses in this regard. His faithfulness in the house. Numbers chapter 12, you look at the first verse, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Who's talking here? Aaron and Miriam. Aaron is Moses' brother. Miriam is Moses' sister. And they're taking a lot upon themselves here when they say this about their brother Moses. In other words, how come Moses is the only one who can speak for the Lord? We can speak too. And the Lord heard it. Verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Beautiful type of Christ right there. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut off from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Oh, Moses was faithful in all his house. He was as a servant for a testimony. What he did was a testimony of what the son would say later. Everything Moses did was a testimony of what Jesus would do later. So who's better, Moses or the one he was testifying about? By the way, who's better, Jesus or you or me? We're to testify of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to take a position of humility before the Lord. Lord, if you can use me, in any way use me. And may I speak forth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Back here in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. What he did was a testimony of what the son would say later. How about the Passover? The Passover wasn't just about what Moses did. The Passover is all about what Jesus would do. He died as the Passover lamb. They tried to put him to death before that. But his hour was not yet come, it says. Because he was going to be a Passover lamb. And on the Passover, he shed his blood. So that whosoever would believe in him, the Lord would pass over them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The rock that brought forth the water speaks not of Moses' greatness and his faithfulness. It speaks of Christ, who would be the water of life, like the woman at the well. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. Oh, sir, give me this water that I don't have to come to this well again, and I don't thirst again. Wow. She found out it was a spiritual water, which would take care of your thirst forever. Let me ask you. Has your thirst been quenched through Christ for spiritual things? Do you say, yes. I thirst no more like I did before I came to Christ. How about the manna? Was that a sign of Moses' faithfulness, his greatness? The manna that came down from heaven every day and fed the people of Israel. Until they went in over Jordan, the manna stopped. Now they were in the land, the promised land. Till then they were sustained by that manna. Who sustains us? Jesus is the bread of life. He sustains us. He keeps us going. He's the bread of life. Then Moses built the tabernacle. Is that a witness to the greatness of Moses? He gave the pattern for the tabernacle. That tabernacle became the most important focal point of the whole camp. And God dwelt there. They could see his presence there. But you know what? That tabernacle, as I often say, if the tabernacle could have fingers, they would all point to the cross, to the Lord Jesus Christ. If every piece of furniture had fingers, they would point to the Lord Jesus Christ. A study of the tabernacle is a deep study of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. If you only see articles of furniture and a tent in the wilderness, and you have not considered the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. If all you see is a tent, you have not considered Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Our brother Ralph used this verse in his message on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Speaking of the things that happened in the Old Testament times, it says, verse 11, now all these things... Now, by the way, if you don't have a King James Bible, the word all is out. And it just says, now these things. Wait a minute. All these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. See, those things happened to talk about things that would be spoken after, at the end of the world. By the way, folks, you know what time it is? You say it's time for you to stop preaching, preacher. No, it's not. It's the end of the world. We're at the end of the world. Now, I'm not going to put a sign up and start walking around. The world's coming to an end tomorrow. But my Bible tells me you and I are living in the end times. This is the time of the end of the world. And in fact, it started right back when the Lord came back. Or when the Lord came the first time. And we're living in the end times. The end of the world. Those things that happened in the Old Testament time, speak of things that are happening right now. And very specifically about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next week, I'm going to look at, but Christ is a faithful son over his own house, not just a servant like Moses in a house, but the builder and one with God as the master builder. And we are Christ's house. Now, if you are as many independent Baptists are these days who believe that there is no such thing as a universal church, then I'll just give you a warning. You might as well not come next week, because I'm going to be preaching that doctrine. What doctrine? The universal church doctrine. Now, I'm not an ecumenist, and that's the first thing they want to throw at me. Well, you're an ecumenical person. No, I'm not. There's such a thing as a true church and a false church. I'm part of the true church. The false church is going on into the tribulation time. But the true church is made up of all those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. And it doesn't only have reference to a local church. Now, I'm as local church as anybody else. But I also believe that there is a universal body of believers who all belong to a house. And before I end up preaching next week's message, I will stop. And we will go over that next week. Because I believe it's a very important doctrine to you and me. And it speaks volumes of who my Savior is and who we ought to realize we are as a body of believers. Not only the membership of Ray Street Baptist Church in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania, zip code 18032. But everyone else who names the name of Christ and who loves the Lord as their personal Savior, you and I are together in this. I have some things to say about that as we get into that next week. All right. I hope you love the Lord Jesus Christ better as we just look at the scriptures concerning our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for the time spent together considering from the scriptures and being taught by the Holy Spirit of God about these things of our Savior, Christ Jesus. May we live for Him. May we die for Him. May we share Him with whosoever will. May we have the joy of leading some soul to Christ, for that'd be the best thing that could ever happen. Keep us safe as we go our way. Thank you for the holiday tomorrow, a time off. Give us good rest. Be with those who are not feeling well, that they would get good health. Be with those with spiritual struggles, that they would find all their needs in Christ. Give us safety as we travel home now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.